The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, Colleen Gray offers helpful advice for pet parents enjoying outdoor activities safely with their dogs. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I love late summers. The days are longer, the weather's a little cooler, and it's a little more comfortable for spending time outdoors with our pups. We may be taking them for longer walks in the neighborhood or enjoying some parks, walking trails, or maybe some other outdoor activities. It's wonderful to be spending more time outdoors with our dogs, but we also need to take precautionary steps to help protect our pups from encounters with wildlife. And back with us today is Colleen Gray. Thank you so much for coming on to share some of this, I consider to be very important information with our listeners.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Yes, thanks for having me as a guest, and I'm looking forward to talking about this subject. It's an important one.
Well, you know, and we have to keep in mind that as we're enjoying the outdoors, we have to learn how to navigate the great outdoors safely with our pups. So I know I do mostly neighborhood walks and occasional park, but it's mostly just neighborhoods. I know that you do a lot with your dogs and you have a lot of parks and walking trails and your dogs are really good on them. Can you just share some of the things that you're doing late summer to enjoy these longer days and cooler evenings?
Yes, absolutely. We love this time of year. So the pups and I often go, we have some wonderful parks here in our town. We go to the park, we go for walks in our neighborhood. We have sidewalks in our neighborhood and pretty quiet streets, which is nice. And I'm able to take them in the evening after work. I finish up work at about 4:30, and I'm able to take them out pretty much as late as about 7 o'clock, which is nice. It's light out later and it's really nice and cool. Definitely my favorite part of the day. So it's more relaxing too. On the weekends, we go out on the trails to our local dog-friendly beaches early in the morning before it gets warm. And we love to take classes too. It's kind of nice. It gives us more options to do our outdoor classes as well.
And what you're doing all this, and I know you do, and your pups love it. I've seen your videos. Can you share some helpful tips with pet parents for keeping our pups safe? If they encounter wildlife, let's say in a park, on a trail, you know, wherever.
Yeah, it really is. Even though most of the time it's not an issue, it's always important to be vigilant. So some things that I do is first, if you're walking your dogs, especially in the early morning or at dusk in the early evening, make sure to have them on a shorter leash. So a non-retractable leash, ideally 6 feet or less. Sometimes I walk mine on a 4-foot leash, but I would say 6 feet at the most, just to be able to keep them close by. Also, be aware and alert and cautious when walking your dogs in or near wooded areas where wildlife may be and are difficult to see. Even in our neighborhood where Most of the vegetation is well trimmed and well cared for. I've seen coyotes in bushes really close to the street, so you can never be too careful. So because the coyotes especially are common in our area, I walk as safe a distance as possible from the wooded edge of a trail, at least in the middle of a trail if we go out, you know, into the woods or out at the park with the trails. Also, when I'm walking in our neighborhood, I do the same. So even though we usually see coyotes at dawn and dusk, I've seen them all times of day, even in the middle of the street, all times of day. So you just have to be super vigilant all the time. Also, prevent dogs from having any interaction with wildlife, even if they seem like they're playing, because wildlife behavior can become dangerous without warning and really fast, depending on the time of year, the time of day, or other conditions that will cause them to possibly get aggressive towards you or your dog. When at home, be sure to have outdoor lights and turn them on before you take your dogs out in the evening. If you have a wooded backyard or one with dark spots, especially with lots of growth, go out checking around your yard with a flashlight and making noise before you take your pups out to help scare off any wildlife that may be in your yard, averting potential encounters. Even better, if you don't have a fenced yard or your fenced yard has dark areas, even with the lights on, I would recommend taking your pups out on a leash in the yard. It only takes a few seconds for predators to act, and especially if they know your habits, you know, certain times of day that you're out there with your dogs, they could be hiding, you know, they're very good at hiding. So just be careful, and probably would be best to have them on a leash if you can. Also, don't leave food outside. So if you feed your dogs outdoors or give them treats in the yard, remove uneaten food bowls, treats, anything to eat to help deter wildlife from coming into your yard. And most important, if your dog has any kind of contact with wildlife that is concerning to you, contact your veterinarian. It's really important.
Those are really good tips. You know, in Florida, it's encouraged that we not walk our dogs near like lakes, along the edge of lakes, ponds, rivers, because we have alligators. They're often in the water. They're not visible, especially like at dusk or dawn. They may just look like a log or, you know, a piece of wood floating in the water. It's advised when you're out early in the morning or in the evening to make sure your dogs are on like a non-retractable. I have like 4 to 6 feet a leash, depending on the size of the dog I'm taking out. And I also have them in harnesses, because two of them I can pick up, one of them I can't, and my harness has a handle on it so that I could just grab her. We've never had an encounter. And when we first moved down here many, many years ago, and we live in Florida, it was recommended because we had dogs and we walked our dogs. And at the time we lived closer to a river, it was make sure that you do not take your dogs out. So we had so many things coming at us, and somebody recommended we go to this local, it's like a preserve for animals. And they teach you about the gators, they teach you about iguanas, they teach you about snakes, and it's all about what to look for, what colors of the snakes. You know, there's just so much in how to avoid any kind of encounter, or if there is an encounter, what to do. So I always tell people that I meet when they first move down here, go over there. You're going to take the class. It'll be well worth it.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it really helped us a lot. Because, you know, we moved from up north. So what you have up north, we were coming from New York, is different than what you have down here. And of course, you see it and you're going, whoa. You mentioned the importance of bringing our dogs to the vet if there's like a negative interaction with wildlife. Can you share maybe some precautionary measures we should discuss with our vets, including vaccines?
Yes, absolutely. So certainly discuss with your veterinarian vaccinations that are important for your pet to have in your geographic area and the areas that you travel to. Some vaccines require annual boosters, other require boosters every 3 years. And different regions have different you know, there is commonality across the United States on recommended vaccinations, but in different areas, there are kind of nuances for what your pet should be vaccinated for. So be sure to check with your veterinarian. Some of the more prevalent and common vaccinations that we see and that are very important, of course, rabies is required by law in most areas and highly effective at preventing rabies transmission when your dogs encounter wild animals, including raccoons, skunk, or foxes. Rabies is a fatal disease that attacks the central nervous system through saliva of an infected animal, usually from bites. So that's a really important one, also required by law in most areas. Another is leptospirosis. It's recommended for dogs who can catch it by swimming or drinking contaminated water from lakes or puddles where wildlife have urinated. Leptospirosis is a serious bacterial disease that damages the dog's liver and kidneys. And then also canine distemper helps protect your dog against highly contagious viruses. They're often fatal. It can be spread by wildlife and affects the gastrointestinal, respiratory, and nervous system of dogs. So again, speak with your veterinarian, see what's important. I know some people where I live do not vaccinate for leptospirosis. I do. We do have outbreaks from time to time. So it's not super common, but it is something that some of us will vaccinate for. But talk to them about the, you know, the risks and the benefits and just make sure that what you're doing is right for you and your pet.
That's so true. And you're right. It could be regional where you're living. For lepto, I had no idea about the vaccine until we moved down here and we were when we first met with our veterinarian that we were going to be going to, they asked if we had it. And we're like, what? So you need to meet with your veterinarian because there are things that are regional to where you live, or like you said, maybe where you're vacationing, or you may, you know, if you're spending, like down here, we have people who are here maybe, you know, 3 or 4 months and then back up north for the rest of the year. So make sure you get with your veterinarian to check what your dog needs for, and cat, for the specific areas in which you live. So that is great information. Thank you. And you know what? I think what we're going to do like right now is let's take a quick break. And when we return, Colleen will share a few specific members of wildlife that could impact your dog's safety outdoors. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Colleen Gray, and she's going to share some specific members of wildlife that could impact your dogs and your safety outdoors when you're out for those walks or out walking those trails or maybe even in a park. So, Colleen, can you share a few? I mean, there's so many of them, but can you share a few specific animals that we maybe should be more aware of? And I know that your pups have encountered a few. So can you just share that?
Yes. Yeah. And throughout the years, we have definitely encountered a few. Certainly coyotes that I had mentioned before are very prevalent where I live, and they're prevalent in a lot of areas in the U.S. We've been fortunate to have not had any tragic outcomes with coyotes, but we are very, very vigilant in our neighborhood. And we have a lot of really responsible pet owners in our neighborhood. Two of our neighbors right across the street from where I live have lost their very small dogs in coyote encounters in their yards over the past couple of years. It's always been at night. And even though the dog was actually standing right in front of the owner for one of the dogs that was lost. The coyote came up, it had dug a hole under the fence and was able to get a hold of their little dog. So again, that kind of goes back to, if you have dark spots in your yard, it's a good idea to have them on a leash, but just be super, super careful and vigilant with the coyotes. If you do see them, I see them out on walks from time to time. I've learned to not run away from them. So instead, secure your dog. So pick them up if you can and make a lot of noise. Get really large. Feel like you need to get really big and really noisy. And typically, if the coyote is alone, they'll usually move on. They'll just leave. But if you run, that's not a great strategy. So just, you know, secure your dog and just become very noisy and very big. And typically they'll leave. And then skunks are certainly an issue in a lot of areas. So skunks are nocturnal and are most active at dawn and dusk. A deterrent to keep them out of your yards is to be sure you do not leave your dog's food out. Food bowls, treats, anything in the yard, any kind of unsecured garbage containers could potentially attract the skunks. They can sometimes be found hiding under porches or elevated sheds. If you encounter a skunk, they usually give a warning before they encounter your dogs. They may stomp their feet, hiss, raise their tail before spraying. If your dog gets sprayed, it is important to act quickly. First, check your dog's eyes because spraying them could cause irritation and possibly temporary blindness. So gently flush your dog's eyes with cool water or a saline solution. Kind of counterintuitively, don't get your dog wet immediately. It's oftentimes our reaction to wash the smell out right away, but water can reactivate sulfur-based oils and can actually worsen the smell. Keep your dog outdoors and contact your veterinarian for further advice. Though the smell is usually non-toxic, the oils it excretes can cause GI upset and possibly blood cell damage. So keep that in mind. Also, skunks carry rabies. So a bite or a scratch requires veterinary care. If they have an encounter, look for signs in your pet of lethargy, drooling, pale gums, and vomiting. As far as snakes go, I know this is an issue for many of us across the U.S. To prevent kind of an issue with the snakes so that you can see them, keep your yards mowed, clear of brush and wood piles, minimizing the hiding spots for snakes to occupy. If you live in an area that may attract snakes, you may want to learn about the snakes that are in your area, recognizing venomous species. If you're going to be walking your dog near high-risk areas that may have snakes, protect your dogs by keeping them on a non-retractable shorter leash and prevent them from sniffing around deep grass, rocks, or brush. Where I live here in San Diego, we have rattlesnakes, and they're quite common. When we're out on the trails, they blend into the dirt and the leaves, so I'm always on the lookout for them. And I listen for them, that telltale rattle. It is true. You can hear them and it's kind of a warning when they start to rattle. Just back away and don't get any closer. So if you see them or hear them, just make sure to go in the other direction. We found that we see rattlesnakes most often when it's warm out. They typically like to sun themselves on driveways and streets and in your backyard or out on the trail. But we're always careful. So even if it's not super warm out, you have to be vigilant. When we do see them, as I had mentioned, we quickly move away with the dog so they don't have an opportunity to interact. Again, kind of secure your dog, pick them up if you can, or just get them out of the way because the rattlesnakes can coil and strike pretty quickly. If you think your dog has been bitten immediately, because time is super important, check their legs, face, and neck for these symptoms. So you want to look for two distinct puncture marks with swelling, redness, or bruising at the site of the bite, excessive panting, vocalizing, and drooling, vomiting and or diarrhea, lethargy, weakness, or if your dog collapses. So those are certainly kind of crisis situations. It's important that you contact your veterinarian immediately. So like maybe today, make sure you know where your local emergency veterinarian is located. And then, if possible, if you do have an encounter with wildlife like a snake or a skunk or any other dangerous wildlife, and you need to get to your emergency veterinarian, you'll know where they are. And then also, ideally, call them when you're on your way. There have been times that we've had situations, emergency situations with our dogs. And fortunately, we have a few really good emergency veterinarians in my area. They're all about the same distance from my home. And if you call ahead and you have, you know, a few to choose from, they will tell you if there's a wait time. So I'm sure they would, you know, rush your dog in as quickly as they can. But if you have an option to get to an emergency room that has less of a wait, that's ideal. So just kind of keep that in mind. It is a stressful experience. It's best that your dog stay as calm and as still as possible to slow down the spread of venom if your dog is bitten by a poisonous snake. In case of facial swelling, safely remove their collar and or harness. And if it is safe, take a photo of the snake with your phone or try to keep it in mind as much as you can, a description of the snake to help your vet identify it and whether it could be venomous. So those are things to kind of think about in advance, because when we're in the moment, I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes me a little bit to think clearly, but knowing these things in advance, it can kind of help us prepare and have that checklist if it happens.
That's great information. And yes, sadly, I have been in that situation. And you know, I'm going to talk about that in a second, because I think we have something that's kind of specific down here. But I wanted to just also say, because, you know, we talked about coyotes and different things. We have coyotes here. And both you and I have double fenced our yards, and we have lights, and we have motion detector lights, so that we have removed almost all of our shrubbery so that nothing can get into it, because we did have a few visitors here that we didn't want. So now we can see them when they come to visit or when they try to visit. And usually with the light, the motion detector light comes on. It's a huge spotlight that shines into we're between the two fences. So it's something that we have as a deterrent. But we have wild animals, but we also have some invasive amphibians. And one in particular that we had an encounter with is called the Bufo frog. It's also known as the cane or marine toad. And they're most active during like warm, rainy weather at night. So we keep our dogs on shorter leashes at dawn or at dusk, because they're big and they tend to want to chase them. So we do not let them go near them. They can get up to like 9 inches.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And they're very attractive. They're brown and warty, and they got like this yellowish beige belly, and their head is flat, smooth. They have a flat, smooth head, and the poisonous glands are located behind their eyes. Their eyes are angled in a strange position on their head. And what happens is when they feel threatened, they secrete like this milky toxin. And because if your dog licks it, or, you know, hopefully they will not consume it. But I mean, if it's a bigger dog, I know of people who have had these situations, and it's extremely dangerous, because if your dog bites or ingests or even licks it, it secretes that milky toxin, and it's a neurotoxin, and sometimes your dog can die within minutes. So the warning signs of the toad poisoning is they'll be pawing at their face, they'll drool, they start frothing, their gums will turn red, they start vocalizing, staggering, they may vomit, they'll start to have seizures, muscle tremors, convulsions. And we had one dog who had this problem that actually encountered it, and we contacted our vet immediately. And so if you suspect that your dog has had an encounter with a Bufo frog, you have to act really quickly and separate the dog from the toad if it's still there. Flush your dog's mouth to remove that sticky toxin, but don't like hose it. Our immediate thing is to just get it out of there. but like get a damp washcloth and thoroughly wipe out their gums and their tongue to try and remove it. Because if you force water into their mouth, you could push it further down. You want to get it out of there. And again, as I said, the most important thing is contact your veterinarian immediately, since they're going to require medical care, especially if they begin to seizure or they may have cardiac issues from it. So you just never know. You know, we do have the wildlife, and we have other things besides the bufo frog. But I think that Benito, they're pretty bold. They come out and hang right out in your yard. So sometimes when we go out in the evening, what we do every night is we go both out with our flashlights to make sure that there's no frogs, snakes. You know, there's nothing around here. And we have armadillos, and, you know, they all come through because we're kind of like on a, it's like a nature, like we're surrounded by trees outside of our yard. We have taken almost everything down in our yard, and we've protected it, the yard, what we can control the best that we can. Yeah, so we go out and survey just to make sure that there's nothing out there, and then we let them out, and we let them out. We don't let everyone out at once because we have to monitor where they go in the yard. Even though we can see everything, and even though we have the two fences, you never know what's going to jump, or you never know what's going to come under it. So that's my wildlife story. Is there any species of wildlife that you have in your area that you have to be kind of vigilant about?
Absolutely. So, of course, the coyotes, but we also have bobcats, mountain lions, raccoons, and skunks in our area. It's really interesting. We don't have a game camera here at our house, but we have neighbors that do, you know, the cameras that...
Oh, yeah.
And it is fascinating what creatures come out at night. And, you know, we live in a neighborhood. It's not, I wouldn't say it's rural. It's kind of semi-rural, but, it's pretty densely populated, and we still have that kind of wildlife here. So it's pretty amazing. They're out there.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, I hope that with all the advice, and I have to thank you for sharing all that great advice that you shared, you know, to help keep our pets safe so that when we take them out, we can enjoy it. They can enjoy it. But, you know, as pet parents, we have to have our heads on a swivel. So we hope that we help the pet parents out there who, with their dogs, they can, if they encounter any forms of wildlife, remember, if you think your dog may have had an encounter or an interaction with wildlife, contact your veterinarian or your emergency veterinarian hospital immediately. And I know that both Colleen and I, we keep our veterinarians and the emergency veterinarian hospitals contacts in our phones, because these interactions take place outdoors. So you can't always run in and get the magnet that's on your refrigerator. So keep it in your phone, and hopefully your dogs will never have a negative encounter with wildlife. But speaking from experience, it's always best to be prepared and have your contacts available wherever you may be. And as I said, being a pet parent, we have to have our heads on a swivel. So, Colleen, I want to thank you so much for sharing such helpful advice for pet parents navigating the great outdoors safely with their pups. And as a part of our Miss Olive's Paw Forward initiative, we will be making a donation to the Frosted Faces Foundation in your name. And I know that this is a very, very special organization. They're amazing, and I know they're very near and dear to your hearts. Can you please share with the listeners a little bit about them?
I would absolutely love to. So the Frosted Faces Foundation, it's a 501c3 here in San Diego County. They're based in Ramona. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing and supporting senior pets and the families who love them. So they were founded in 2014 by a couple, and the organization began with fostering senior dogs who were being overlooked at the shelters. As the need for senior pet support quickly outpaced their personal capacity, they established the Frosted Faces Foundation to engage a broader network of compassionate families and partners. Since then, they've supported hundreds of families and evolved to meet the increasingly complex needs of senior pets in our community. through innovative programs that rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome aging animals alongside safety net services, veterinary care. They actually have their own vet clinic now at the...
Oh, wow.
And then also through education, they're building a future where every senior pet is seen, supported, and deeply loved. They are a wonderful organization. They do beautiful and important work. And if you'd like to learn more about them, you can check them out at frostedfacesfoundation.org.
Well, I know that you speak very highly of them and that you have friends that have adopted from them, and they're a wonderful organization. So, and I love my seniors. My house is full of senior doggies. So we love our seniors. So I want to thank you again, Colleen, for sharing all the great information about us being able to go out and navigate the outdoors safely with our pups, with wildlife. So I want to thank you so much. And I want to thank all the listeners, and you have a great Diva Week, everyone. Bye-bye.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at the Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.